Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Clear your doubts about Islam, 50 answers to common questions. Compiled by Sahih International. Page 19, question 15. Are there sects in Islam? Islam is one path, has one direction, and is based on one methodology, that which Prophet Muhammad taught according to the instruction he received from God. The religion ordained for mankind was meant to be a unifying factor. In fact, he addressed mankind in the Quran saying, "And this is my path, which is straight, so follow it and do not follow other ways, for they will separate you from his way." This divine command emphatically makes it binding on all Muslims to be united as one community of believers. Thus, all forms of schism and sectarianism are un-Islamic. The Prophet's companions and following generations adhered very closely to the path of God, and thus he protected them from separating in this manner. But with later generations, certain factors led to the emergence of divisions and divergence among them, increasing concern with worldly affairs, the influence of non-Muslim cultures, and political rivalries. Initially, some small groups split off from the path adhered to by the majority of Muslims. They introduced innovations into the religion and followed opinions differing from the original teachings of the Prophet. These schisms were rejected and opposed by the recognized scholars of Islam and the majority of Muslims, which meant that initially they were contained and that their influence did not become widespread during the major part of Islamic history. The majority of Muslims remained on the Sunni path, and a Sunni is one who takes his religion from the Quran and the Sunnah, i.e. the authentically narrated teachings of Prophet Muhammad as practiced by him and his righteous followers. So the majority of the Muslims remained on the Sunni path, and whenever forms of deviation emerged among them, the pious scholars always hastened to oppose them and point out their error. Prophet Muhammad foretold that such divergences would emerge. He warned against schism and instructed Muslims to remain within the main body of Islam. Nevertheless, over the centuries, a number of people have deviated and corrupted their religion, forming sects that claim to belong to Islam but whose stated beliefs are clearly contrary to Islam. Some have distorted the concept of God and attributed to him what is unfitting or incompatible with his divine status, claiming, for example, that everything in existence is God, or that he is incarnate or present within his creation, while the Quran states that he is superior to his creation and distinct from it. And some have been misguided regarding various major tenets of Islam to the degree that they no longer submit to God and obey him, while others have innovated and changed some of the prescribed forms of worship. Those sects which deviated from mainstream Islam are not the same as the schools of Islamic jurisprudence, which are the Hanafi, Maliki, Shafi, and Hanbali schools, and a few others less known. So those sects which deviated from mainstream Islam are not the same as the schools of Islamic jurisprudence, which developed within it and are based on the immutable principles of the faith. These eminent schools of thought have provided a vision of the highest degree of scholarship for Islamic legislation and serve to complement one another. Differences and disagreements within the framework of Islam do not become matters of partisanship and intolerance except among the extremely ignorant. Islam recognizes the individuality of human beings and that not all diversity of opinion and difference in analysis is negative. However, the kind of dissension that leads to divisions and sectarianism has been denounced in the Quran. Indeed, those who have divided their religion and become sects, you, O Muhammad, are not associated with them in anything. Their affair is only left to Allah. Then He will inform them about what they used to do. Although Muslims now appear to be divided more than ever before, the number of divisions in Islam remain fewer than in other religions. One can still find many Islamic associations calling people to truth, proclaiming God's original message, and warning against that which is contrary to it. Salvation does not depend on affiliation with any specific group, but rather on a true faith proven by obedience to God and upright conduct in the manner revealed by Him. Prophets and Scriptures. Question 16. Who was Muhammad? Muhammad ibn Abdullah was a descendant of Prophet Abraham through his son Ishmael and was from the prominent Arab tribe of Quraysh. He was not the founder of Islam but its final prophet and the last messenger sent by God to the world as a mercy to mankind. Every detail of his private life and public speech has been documented and carefully preserved up to the present day. During the 23-year period of his prophethood, he changed the entire Arabian Peninsula from paganism to worship of the one true God, from tribal warfare to national unity, from anarchy to disciplined living, from barbarism to the highest standard of moral excellence. At the time of his death, most inhabitants of Arabia and the southern regions of Iraq and Palestine had voluntarily embraced Islam. At the time of his death, most inhabitants of Arabia and the southern regions of Iraq and Palestine had voluntarily embraced Islam. To posterity, he left a creed of pure monotheism that included comprehensive legislation based on a balanced system of moral values. No other man in history excelled in so many different aspects of life. He not only taught and established the religion, but founded a state, initiated numerous political and social reforms, built a powerful and dynamic society, and completely revolutionized the realm of human thought and behavior, all within just over two decades. His coming was foretold in previous scriptures. His coming was foretold in previous scriptures, and he was described therein. The honest and open-minded among the Jews and Christians recognized him from those descriptions and believed in his message. But the message he communicated was not meant for a particular people, place, or period. It was a global message. Muhammad was appointed to instruct all of mankind and invite humanity to the same objective as did the prophets before him, the worship of God alone, without associates or intermediaries. There is explicit evidence for the prophethood of Muhammad. As the revelation descended upon him, his companions noticed certain effects on his body. However, he never lost consciousness or showed any signs of illness. His life was protected by God during times of severe danger throughout the entire period of his prophethood until the divine message was complete. Like the prophets before him, Muhammad was supported with miracles, but by far the greatest of them was the Quran, an eternal miracle containing evidences for people of intellect for all time to come. Prophet Muhammad was chosen by the Creator of the universe and of mankind to invite all people to correct beliefs and the pure way of life preferred by him, and to demonstrate the measures and methods leading to his acceptance. He spared no effort and no sacrifice in carrying out this duty for the benefit of mankind. Through him, God made known truth from falsehood and wisdom from error, and through him he showed man how to attain eternal paradise. Thus, Prophet Muhammad directed humanity to the one divine source of values and rules of conduct. Question 17. Do Muslims worship Muhammad? Islam is based on uncompromising monotheism. God alone is to be worshipped and nothing else, so Muslims cannot worship Muhammad or any other human being. The basis for this misconception actually comes from the early Orientalists who called Islam Muhammadanism, implying that Muslims worship Muhammad. Like all prophets, he was a man, And despite his extraordinary accomplishments, he never claimed divine status. Rather, he always maintained that he was human like everyone else, that he spoke nothing of his own accord, and that the Quran was a message from God revealed to him by God, to whom alone belongs all glory and praise. He never took personal credit for any success. All the principles he taught, the legislation he pronounced, and the great achievements for which he could have attained personal renown and advantage were attributed to the guidance and support of God alone. Muslims strive to follow the example of Prophet Muhammad. Additionally, Islam teaches Muslims to respect all of God's prophets and messengers. However, respecting and loving them does not mean worshipping them, for all forms of worship must be directed only to the Creator. Muhammad was himself a devout worshipper of God. He gave away everything he obtained in charity, fasted often, and would spend a great portion of the night in a prayer. He was constantly aware of his Lord, remembering him in every situation, and his words of praise and supplication reflected the highest degree of sincerity and servitude. His entire life was dedicated to the cause of God. He called on people to worship God alone and insisted that they refer to him as merely a servant of God, telling his followers, "Do not exaggerate in praise of me, as the Christians did with Jesus, son of Mary. I am only his servant. So say the servant of Allah and his messenger." Question 18. Why should Muhammad be the final prophet? Haven't there been others after him? Prophethood is not something acquired by a person who proves himself worthy, nor is it granted in recognition of piety. Prophethood is an office to which God appoints a man in order to fill a particular need. The Quran mentions four conditions under which prophets were sent to the world. 1. When no prophet had ever been sent to a people before and no divine message had reached them. 2. When the message of an earlier prophet had been forgotten by the people or the teachings of former prophets had been altered with time. 3. When a second prophet was needed to assist a first one. 4. When a people had not yet received complete instruction from God. In each of these cases, a prophet was appointed to convey divine revelation, updating previous messages and correcting deviations that man had introduced into the religion of God. After God's message was completed through revelation to Muhammad and its preservation guaranteed, there was no further need for messengers to convey revelation, only for teachers and reformers to remind people of what God had revealed. From the time of Muhammad's prophethood, conditions in the world have been conducive to the transmission of God's message to all civilizations, making the appointment of additional prophets unnecessary. This final message has undergone no amendment or alteration by man. Not a single word has been added to it or deleted from it. If God intended to send another prophet after Muhammad, he would have made that fact clear in the Quran or commanded his messenger to declare that a prophet would follow him. But the Quran clearly affirms that God has now completed his divine mission through Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Therefore, the office of prophethood has been cancelled, enabling the world to unite in allegiance to the final prophet and obedience to God. For everyone who accepts Muhammad as the divinely appointed final messenger will seek instruction only within the message he conveyed. For everyone who accepts Muhammad as the divinely appointed final messenger will seek instruction only within the message he conveyed. Question 19. Before going to the question 19, I will go to the footnotes. The Quran states, "Muhammad is not the father of any one of your men, but he is the messenger of Allah and seal, i.e. last of the prophets." Chapter 33, verse 40. Also, in another footnote, God stated therein, "This day I have perfected for you your religion and completed my favor upon you and have approved for you Islam as religion." Chapter 5, verse 3. Now, let's go back to question 19. Didn't Muhammad write the Quran or borrow from the earlier scriptures? Opponents of Islam sometimes allege that Muhammad himself wrote the Quran or that he copied or adapted it from previous scriptures. But it is known that the Prophet's contacts with Jews and Christians was negligible before his immigration from Mecca, and after it, his role was that of a teacher, and after it, his role was that of a teacher, openly inviting the Jews and Christians to accept Islam while pointing out how they had diverged from the true monotheism taught by their prophets. It is true that there are some similarities between the Quran and the Bible, but this does not indicate that later prophets plagiarized from former ones. It merely reflects the common source, which is the creator of mankind, and the continuance of his basic message of monotheism. Moreover, there was no Arabic version of the Bible in existence at the time of Prophet Muhammad. The earliest Arabic version of the Old Testament is that of R. Sadias Gaon, R. Sadias Gaon of 900 CE, more than 250 years after the death of Prophet Muhammad. And the oldest Arabic version of the New Testament was published by Irenaeus in 1616 CE, about 1,000 years after his death. Historically and logically, it cannot be established that there was any human source for the Quran, or that the Messenger of Allah learned it from the Jews or Christians. His enemies kept a close watch on him, hoping to find confirmation of their claim that he was a liar. But they could not point to a single instance when the Prophet might have had secret meetings with people of other faiths. It was a sign of Muhammad's prophethood that he was illiterate, and illiterate, thus he could not be credited with composing or editing the revelations, and suspicion that he learned what he preached from earlier scripture is eliminated. At the time the Quran was revealed, his contemporaries among the Arabs, known for linguistic eloquence, acknowledged that its language was unique and distinctly different from the speech of Muhammad, a man they knew well. The Quran states that the Prophet was an unlettered man, so if that had not been true, his opponents would surely have exposed him. There is, however, not a single report to this effect, and no one denied his illiteracy. At the same time, no one denied that the Quran was unequaled in eloquence, impact, and clarity, including those who rejected its message. It is not difficult to verify that Muhammad did not possess knowledge of many things mentioned in the Quran, such as historical events, natural phenomena, and future occurrences. The kind of information he conveyed could not have been obtained through reading and research, so it was obviously something that could only have come directly from the Creator. The Quran states in several places that Muhammad and his people did not know these facts, so had it been otherwise, his adversaries would have capitalized on that claim to discredit him. Only recently, within the last two centuries, have advancements in research technology led to the discovery of facts that were mentioned in the Quran by the unlettered prophet over 14 centuries ago. Here are a few examples: the creation of the universe from a single entity, and of life from water. Have those who disbelieved not considered that the heavens and the earth were a joined entity, and we separated them and made from water every living thing? Quran chapter 21 verse 30. All creation is based on duality, made up of pairs, counterparts, or opposites. And of all things we created two mates. Quran 51 verse 49. In contrast, God is one with no counterpart and nothing resembling him in any way. The different natures of the sun and moon. It is he, Allah, who made the sun a shining light and the moon a derived light, and determined for it phases that you may know the number of years and account of time. Quran chapter 10 verse 5. Other verses 25, 61, and 71, 16 refer to the sun as a burning lamp. The rotation of the earth. He created the heavens and earth in truth. He wraps the night over the day and wraps the day over the night. Quran 39 verse 5. The alternate wrapping of sunlight and darkness is caused by the earth's turning in one direction. The expansion of the universe and the heaven we constructed with strength, and indeed we are its expander. Quran chapter 51 verse 47. The Creator refers to himself in the plural form, which denotes power, grandeur, and majesty. The sun is not stationary, but moves in a specific direction for a limited term, and the sun runs on course toward its stopping point. Chapter 36, verse 38, the sun, as a tiny member of this vast universe, is progressing within it toward the final destination, which indicates an end to the present creation. These are words recited by Muhammad, the unlettered prophet. The Quran addresses recently established scientific facts with the precision of a scientist. Could the most highly literate, well-read, or scholarly man of that period, or even of the centuries that followed, possibly have come up with anything similar? Question number 20. How does the Quran differ from other scriptures? The Quran was revealed over 1400 years ago. It states in no uncertain terms that it is a revelation from God conveyed by the angel Gabriel to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. It is regarded not only by Muslims, but by scholars of religion and historians as the most authentic religious text in existence today. Unlike earlier scriptures, the Quran has been preserved unchanged in its original Arabic text since the time of revelation, as God had promised within it. Its preservation was guaranteed when God revealed, "Indeed, it is we who sent down the message, and indeed we will be its guardian." Chapter 15, verse 9. Note, God often refers to himself in the Quran as we, which does not denote plurality, but rather power and majesty. History witnessed the fulfillment of that promise, for the book of God remains to date exactly as it was revealed to the prophet and recited by him. Immediately memorized and recorded by large numbers of his companions, it was passed on in exactly the same form by thousands of Muslims generation after generation up until the present day. The Quran of today is literally the same scripture as was revealed to Prophet Muhammad. There is no other book in the history of man that has been memorized precisely and accurately, word for word, letter for letter, by millions of people over the centuries. This in itself is a miracle. There is only one verse of the Quran. The same revealed words continue to be read, recited, and memorized in their original Arabic language by Muslims throughout the world. Translations of the meanings into other languages assist in understanding but cannot be called the Quran, as this term refers only to the actual revealed words of God. The Quran contains God's final message to humanity and legislation, which encompasses all spheres of a human life. It is suited to all peoples and all times. It appeals to logic, following clear reasoning and citing evidences from the created universe, from history, and from the human soul to establish not only the existence of God, but also his uniqueness and absolute perfection. It also contains answers to the questions which naturally occur to the human mind about the purpose of creation and what occurs after death. It is the primary source of the Islamic creed and its legislation, but in addition to religious guidance, it contains numerous verses that speak of the universe, its components and phenomena, the earth, sun, moon, stars, mountains, wind, rivers and seas, plants, animals, and successive stages of human development. As can be seen from examples in the previous chapter, the Quran speaks with the perfect knowledge of the Creator about his creation. Being the final revelation to mankind, God has made the Quran a continuing miracle containing evidences to be uncovered gradually as humans increase in knowledge of their universe. But its main purpose is to guide mankind as to how one should relate to his Creator, to his fellow men, and to the universe in general. It outlines the practical methods of earning the approval of God and obtaining peace and contentment in the permanent existence to come. By following its guidance, man can fully experience his human worth and his special position among created beings. The Quran was revealed containing complete guidance in all matters of faith and its application to the affairs of a human life in order that everyone might attain the happiness and contentment of this world and the next. Question 21. Is it true that Muslims do not believe in Jesus? What does Islam say about him? One cannot be a Muslim if he does not believe in Jesus as well as all other prophets sent by God. The Quran names 25 prophets and messengers and suggests that there were many more. So one cannot be a Muslim if he does not believe in Jesus as well as all other prophets sent by God, including Adam, Noah, Abraham, David, Solomon, Moses, and Muhammad. Muslims have the highest regard for Jesus and await his second coming. The Islamic view of Jesus is one between two extremes. The Jews rejected his prophethood and called him an imposter, while many Christians regard him as the Son of God and worship him as such. Islam considers Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, as one of the great prophets of God, worthy of respect and honor, but not worship. He was sent to confirm and renew the basic doctrine of belief in God alone and obedience to Him. According to the Quran, He was born miraculously without a father. He was born miraculously without a father, and you find this to chapter 19, verses 16 to 35. And he was not crucified but raised up to God, and he was not crucified but raised up to God. And you find this referred to Quran to chapter 3, verse 55, and chapter 4, verses 157 to 158. The Quran attributes to him miracles that are not even mentioned in the Bible. However, Islam sees the deification of Jesus as a reversion to paganism, and the divinity of Jesus is categorically rejected within the Quran's text, referred to chapter 5, verse 72. Such doctrines as the Muslims simply as Trinity, such doctrines as Trinity, as the Trinity, divine sonship, and atonement are not accepted by Muslims simply because they did not originate from